For our message today, let's turn over to the 7th chapter of the book of Luke and read a little bit here, beginning in the 11th verse of Luke chapter 7. God's people should be aware of the fact that this life is temporal. We're only going to be here for a little while, and we don't know when that time is going to come when we will depart this world. But by faith, we believe that there's a place that Jesus has prepared for us that we're going to go to when that time comes. And then when that time comes, we will wonder why the Lord said that He would reward us with long life on this earth, when every day that we spend here, we could spend with Him in heaven. For every day that we suffer pain, sorrow, heartaches here, we could be experiencing joy and peace and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. Someday we'll understand all that. But at the present time, it's incumbent upon us to realize that we are only here for a little while. But we have placed our faith and our trust in an individual, a person who has made a promise that He will one day take us unto Himself. And he that liveth and believeth in Me, He says, shall never die. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now we take that by faith. It's the only way you can take it. A lot of people don't believe it. That's all right. That's their business. But we believe that. Now here in Luke chapter 7, we have one of several demonstrations of the power of Jesus Christ over death. All of us here have it. One time or another, been touched by death. Someone near and dear to us has passed on. And we have a hope in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 11 here. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he was come nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, that's the coffin that the body was in. And they that bare him stood still. Pall bearers stopped the procession. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. Jesus had been at Capernaum, that town on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee, the upper end of the lake. Capernaum was more or less the headquarters of Jesus when he was there in the region of Galilee. He has just healed a centurion's servant who was at the point of death. He was sick and ready to die. And Jesus has traveled about 25 miles south toward Jerusalem. And he comes to this beautiful little village of Nain on the northwest slope of Mount Moriah, known as Little Hermon. It was a gated community. It did not have a wall around the city like so many of the cities did, but it had its gates. As Jesus and his disciples are approaching this city, they are met by a funeral procession that's coming out of the city on their way to the local cemetery. Now, many people of the city are in this procession for this young man, the only son of a widowed mother who has just died. We don't know the cause of his death. History tells us that his name was Maternus. Maternus, of course, through this experience, became a disciple of Jesus Christ, a believer in him. And he became a minister. He was a disciple after Jesus' death and resurrection. He became a disciple of Simon Peter and accompanied him in some of his travels and his missionary work that he did, until finally Maternus branched out on his own and preached in the far northern reaches of the Roman Empire, beyond the Alps. Now, as Jesus meets this funeral procession, he is touched by this mother's grief. The Bible says he had compassion on her. That means that he cared for her. His heart was broken by her grief. And he said to her, "Weep not. Weep not." She didn't know it, but she was in the presence of the resurrection and the life. She was in the presence of one who had all power in heaven and on earth. She was in the presence of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. He walked over and touched the coffin that held this young man. Those pallbearers bearing the coffin stopped. And Jesus spoke to Maternus and said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." You and I could say that and it wouldn't make any difference. I remember this happened in Oklahoma. One time a fellow had died. They were having the funeral in the church. The body was there. And some of the elders of the church went up to that casket and they took the dead body out of that casket, one on one side and one on the other, and they walked him up and down the aisle of the church, trying to bring him back to life. They had good intentions, but they didn't have the power. And so eventually they had to put him back in the casket, take him out to the cemetery and bury him. How different when it's Jesus. He said, "Arise." And the young man that was dead sat up and began to speak. And then Jesus delivered him to his mother. Now this miracle of raising the dead is certainly a demonstration of his awesome power that he had. One who can speak to a dead corpse and say, "Arise," and it comes alive again. Now, at this rising, Maternus did not receive a new body. So technically, this was not a resurrection from the dead, was it? It was rather a restoration to life. That means that he will eventually die again. Now, I read this, and knowing that I too shall one day die, I feel confident to put my faith and trust in a person who has such power. And I wonder today who you're trusting to get you out of the grave. Because that's where we're all headed. Turn a page and go over to the 8th chapter of Luke. Verses 41 and 42, and then skip down to verse 49 through 56, and I'll not take the time to read it, but this is a miracle of raising the dead again that takes place immediately after Jesus returned from the country of the Gadarenes over on the east side of Galilee. We spoke on that last Sunday evening about this maniac man over there who was possessed of a legion, that 6,000 evil spirits that Jesus cast out of this man into a herd of swine, 2,000 head of hogs who didn't like being demon possessed, so they ran over a cliff and drowned in the sea. And Jesus has now come back across the Galilee, and he's now in Capernaum again, and he has just added another disciple to his group. He ran across a tax collector by the name of Levi. By the way, the taxes are coming due pretty soon. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and that unto God which is his. Jesus called him Matthew. He liked Matthew better than Levi, I suppose. And so Matthew and Mark record this event as well as Luke. Matthew's is in chapter 9 and Mark's is in chapter 5. But what I want to do is to take all three of these accounts from Matthew, Mark, and Luke and put them together and make one story out of it, not leaving out anything, so that we can get the entire picture from all three witnesses at one time. Listen at this. "And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue." Kind of reminds you of John chapter 3, doesn't it? "There came a man by the name of Nicodemus. He too was a ruler of the Jews that came to Jesus by night. And Jairus had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and worshiped him and besought him greatly," that is, he begged him, "that he would come into his house saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And that's the faith that he had in the Lord Jesus Christ. While he yet spake, who was he talking to? Look at the context. He was talking to this woman that had the issue of blood, who had just touched the hem of his garment and been made whole. So he was carrying on a conversation with her when he was interrupted by this ruler of the synagogue. "There cometh one while he's talking to this woman, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, 'Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master any further.'" He'd come to Jesus to try to get him to go down there and lay his hands on her and raise her up from the sick bed. Now he says, "Okay, it's too late. Too late. She's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore." As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Now belief is faith. "Only believe, and she shall be made whole." And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did all his disciples and much people. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the minstrels and them that wept and bewailed greatly. He said unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? Weep not, for the damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. When he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John, the brother of James, and the father and mother of the maiden. When the people were put forth, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumma," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." Same as he said to Maternus, "Arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And her parents were astonished with a great astonishment, but listen to this. He charged them straightly that they should tell no man what was done, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Can you imagine that? Don't tell anybody. Oh my. Jesus, don't you know human nature better than that? My lands. Don't tell anybody, he said. So here's another demonstration of our Savior's power over death. The spirit of life had departed her body, but at Jesus' command, it returned and restored her to life. Let me quickly give you another one in John chapter 11. Can't miss this one. There was a family living in Bethany, a village about a mile and three quarters from Jerusalem over the hill, the Mount of Olives. And that's the place where a man by the name of Lazarus lived. Now, this is not the same Lazarus that you read about in Luke 16 that died and went to Abraham's bosom in paradise. This is a different Lazarus. Now, this Lazarus lived there in Bethany with his two sisters, Martha and Mary. They were friends of Jesus. He spent a lot of time at their house. And one day, while Jesus was off ministering in another place, Lazarus took sick. And Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus. He was ministering beyond Jordan, the Bible says, over there where John had been baptizing, probably the place where Jesus himself had been baptized. So they sent word to Jesus about Lazarus' sickness, and Jesus waited 2 days before he did anything about it. He told the disciples, eventually he said, Lazarus is dead, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. And the same sentence, the same word group, Jesus mentioned Lazarus being dead, and then he said he is asleep. He was asleep in Jesus. That's where he was. And that's what happens to you and me. These bodies go to sleep. Now, when they arrived there at Bethany, they found that Lazarus was indeed dead and had been buried for 4 days in the local cemetery. Now, this is stretching it, isn't it? Maternus was on his way to the cemetery. Jairus' 12-year-old daughter was still laying there on the bed right after she had died. But 4 days in the grave? That's Lazarus. Martha and Mary both said to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That gave Jesus the opportunity to say to them, read it, what a blessing. Thy brother shall rise again. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. Jesus saw them weeping, and the Jews also weeping. The Bible says he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. The people said, behold how he loved him. Jesus said through his tears, where have you laid him? They said, come and see. They led him out to the cemetery where the body of Lazarus had been buried. Bible says it was a cave with a stone upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha protested, Lord, by this time he stinketh. 4 days dead, he'd not been embalmed. His body has begun to decay. By now he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. But they took away the stone. Jesus stood there before that tomb. First thing that he did was pray. He lifted up his voice and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Then he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. And they did, and many of the people believed on Jesus because of this miracle. Now, I won't keep you too much longer, But I want to make a reference, if I may, for you to read this afternoon about the Apostle Paul's experience at Lystra when he was stoned and dragged out of the city. That's in Acts 14, verses 19 and 20. And when you read that, there's just those two verses. But he makes mention of this 12 years later. And it's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the first 9 verses. Promise me that you'll read that about Paul and his experience with death. But I will give you one more before we leave this morning, and that's in Luke chapter 24. Because when Jesus was crucified, after he was dead, his body was taken down from the cross by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, and was laid to rest in Joseph's new tomb, hewn out of the solid rock where no man had ever been laid before. They rolled a big stone over the door and departed, and these women saw how his body was laid in the tomb. Early in the morning of the third day, on Sunday morning, they went to the tomb where the body of Jesus was supposed to be. They found the stone rolled away from the entrance of the tomb, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Two men in shining garments met them on their way out of the tomb and said to them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Under his own power." Now, this was not simply a restoration to life like that of the young man at Nain, or Jairus' 12-year-old daughter, or even Lazarus. This is resurrection. Because when Jesus came out of the grave, he was given a new body. A new body. And before that day was over, he had shown himself alive by many infallible proofs to a lot of believers in Jerusalem, as well as the women and his disciples. And for 40 days, he showed himself to the people. And then one day he went out to the top of the Mount of Olives with his disciples. And as he talked to them, gravity turned loose of him and he began to ascend up into heaven until he was received by a cloud. Two men stood by them in shining apparel. "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Let's stand together, please. Thank you for listening this morning. We appreciate your being here, and I hope that I've said something today that will encourage your heart and give you help and hope. Because we never know when that time will come when God will call us home. But that's what it is. We'll be going home. We may leave people behind to mourn our passing, but we'll be with the Lord in His presence. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your blessed word. We pray that you'll speak to hearts today. And if there's even one here that is not prepared for that inevitable day, for it's appointed unto man once to die. I pray that today will become the day when they will accept Christ, who said that if anybody believes in him, they'll never die. They just go to be with him. If there's one here, Lord, that needs you and needs your help, I pray that during this verse of invitation that they will come today to the Lord Jesus Christ, who invites us and says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
487.
Number 487. Let's sing a verse of this invitation. Somebody here may need the Lord today. I don't know your heart, but you know it and God knows it. Will you come?
Amen.
Savior, who never sleeps. He's available to take your call day or night. And anybody that calls on him for salvation, he'll never say no. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. As we're dismissed in prayer tonight, Brother Roger, will you lead us?
Dear Father, again, thank you for your word, and thank you for the truth here we have in your gospel. We thank you, Lord, that this, the Bible is basically everything that we need, everything that we'll ever need in our lives, and we just thank you that we can look forward to your coming again. We pray, Lord, that you hasten this, because this world is turning so bad, and we know the last days are coming, and we know we can trust in you. Again, we thank you for this church that preaches and teaches your word, Lord. Come, my Lord, and we thank you for this. We thank you for this wonderful day, and we thank you for this wonderful season that we know Jesus is the one. Thank you for your love, and thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.